The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, we're back. Monday, we made it. That weekend went by in about 8 hours. I'm not kidding. It's just crazy out there. I think it's Christmas season. I went out today briefly. I didn't see any. I look at night with my binoculars at some of the nearby homes on hillsides and so forth. I don't see any Christmas lights. I'm sure there are many areas in the country where people are still feeling a little bit of that kind of spirit that we all experienced earlier in life, but it's changing, and very, very sad to see for obvious reasons. And wherever you are around the world, many of you listening aren't necessarily Christians and you don't celebrate Christmas, I understand, but you have your own holidays, and I'll bet you if you look at them objectively, you're seeing similar sorts of things. People have been beaten up and so stressed that they just don't have it anymore. They're tired, understandably so, and none more tired than the vax injured, whether from the vax directly, getting the virus, or being shed upon. This weapon is not experimental. It is not failed. It is, in point of fact, brilliantly deployed. Absolutely 100% effective in terms of acquiring and achieving what the controllers who designed it wanted to happen. And I still don't understand how even the mainstream media can avoid so thoroughly. I guess that's what they do. I mean, we know what they do, but this topic, it's so obviously a genocidal takedown of the human species. It just boggles my mind that more people don't understand. You people do, or you wouldn't be listening here. You get it. But the majority, and I know many of you who do get it, have many more friends who don't get it, and trying to bring them up to speed is virtually an impossible task for a number of reasons, which I won't get into now. But I want you all to think back at Christmases past, perhaps, when you were young, or if you have children who are now grown, what it was like then. And it was an ability to not necessarily embrace the religious aspects of it, but to create a little bit of magic and happiness and anticipation. And the gift of giving, of course, takes many different forms. It's not just things. Giving affection, giving attention, looking at someone and letting them know that they count and they matter. That's probably the ultimate gift. At any rate, the ghost of Christmas's past is lurking. And I would urge all of you to, it's online, somebody kindly sent me a note, you can find it there, the 1951 version of A Christmas Carol with Alistair Sim is one of the great films. Alistair Sim transcended script interpretation. He was Ebenezer Scrooge. And just a marvelous, marvelous production, which will help a lot of us think back to how things were. My personal remembrances of Christmas are, well, they're private, but on Christmas Eve when I was 6 years old, my life changed. Something very, very bad happened. And I always remember it, though, not as a bad time, but I remember the good things about it prior to that time and even after, when I was in charge of recreating a Christmas spirit for a little girl who otherwise would not have experienced it. And I was very blessed to be able to do that. And I hope all of you just sit back a little bit and, as bad as things are, try to remember the good times. Hopefully you all have some good memories. Don Jeffries is back on Monday. Hello, Donald. Welcome back. How goes it?
How you doing, Jeff? Yeah, this is the most wonderful time of the year, even in these perilous days of crumbling America 2.0. It's still special. I mean, it's not. You're right, though. I think it's lost something, and those of us
People have lost something. People are just they're the whiteboard, the chalkboard, the blackboard upon which this energy is imprinted. And if the people are no longer interested in reflecting that, for reasonable and good reasons in many cases, I get it. I didn't mean to go on so long in the beginning. I never planned these things. They just happen.
I think that the traditional concept of America, certainly the Christmas Carol, I still consider a Christmas Carol to be the greatest story ever written, in modern English literature. I think it's a perfect story. And because the hardest thing anybody who's tried to write fiction, as I have, will tell you, is the hardest thing to write is an ending. You know, you can come up with lots of great ideas and, improbabilities and, Twilight Zone stuff, which is what my fiction is always about. But trying to wrap it up into an ending, and that's what Dickens did with The Christmas Carol and left people satisfying. It's very Jesus-like in a way, and then It's a Wonderful Life, which is my favorite movie of all time, basically usurped the Christmas Carol message and kind of modernized it, but it's the same kind of thing, redemption. But those messages just don't jibe with the world today, and certainly not with America 2.0. We're saying, how do you reconcile that? Because those messages are timeless, and first of all, they're based on a belief in God and more specifically Jesus. And that doesn't that doesn't fit in with the people, the woke social engineers. So we have
I can tell you something that you'll like. And I can state this with no hesitancy. I was really honored to be able to spend a couple of hours with Frank Capra It was 3 hours. I don't know, but he would be absolutely devastated to see what's going on now in this country, socially, culturally, what's being done to our young people, our children, the war on children. Honest to God, the people who are involved with the war on children, and I would not have any hesitation at all to push the button to get rid of them. This is not human behavior. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it is. I think, what is the line in the Bible? I don't quote the Bible that much, but, whoever offends one of the little ones, it's better if he has a stone, a rock around his neck or something and thrown. I can't remember exactly, but it's
thrown him into the ocean. Boy, you got
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you have to, and there's something I remember, when my kids were small. I mean, I remember my own Christmases fondly, but I remember my children's Christmases more fondly. And I kind of had my second childhood with them. I looked forward to, especially my son, because, he was a boy, and I looked forward to what's he going to get, from other people and everything. And it was a magic time. And when they're on it, and that's why, again, replenishment is so important. And I wrote a piece on Substack, which is getting a lot of play. I think it's got more views than anything I've ever written, right? I called it Cheering for White Extinction. And I just came out, I don't care. I'm not pulling any punches. And I talked about how, the white race is the Caucasian. We're an endangered species. We meet every criteria. And this is, it's very important when you look at what's happening with, like, white people not having babies. And that's the main reason it's not happening. They're not. They just aren't. And so they're not at the replacement level. Something like Christmas, it's a holiday. It's built around children. When you're very small, you had the magic of Santa Claus, and we all tell this, you know, we all conspire. You talk about conspiracies. There's a conspiracy for it. It's a worldwide conspiracy where all parents, pretty much, I mean, there's a few fundamentalist Christian types that don't believe in, you know, don't believe in talking about Santa Claus at all, but most of us do. And it's kind of a, you know, we feel bad, you know, when they find out, and I felt bad when I found out as a kid, but it's, I think it's a really beautiful fable. It's a fantasy, and it makes things even more special for us, part of the, you know, the allure of childhood, the magic of childhood. But without children, Christmas really is, it's not the same thing. Then it just becomes kind of a gift exchange, and, you know, did you spend the same amount as everyone else, you know, as the other person that gave to you, and that kind of thing. Whereas when children are involved, the idea is you're really, as parents or adults, you know, who have children, nieces or nephews, whatever, the idea is really to give. You're not expecting those kids to give you anything in return, really. So it becomes, and I think that's the message, again, from Dickens, is that, and really, because there was a movie made a few years ago about Charles Dickens called The Man Who Invented Christmas. And in all reality, he really did invent many of the traditions that still are to this day with his stories. Not only did he hit, I think, A Cricket in the Hearth was another one, but he used to write Christmas stories every year. But A Christmas Carol established that precedent. This is one man with an incredible imagination that came up with these beautiful traditions that we still enjoy. But obviously, children are the center of it, the centerpiece of it. So the reason I brought up my Substack piece is because most whites today a huge number of whites today are opting not to have children. And that's just, it's unnatural. I don't think it can happen naturally. And as I wrote in the article, I don't think it did happen naturally. I think it was, you know, it was an indoctrination that they were, you know, the whites, because, you know, I remember, I don't know about you, Jeff, when I was young, and even I had regrets that I didn't have more kids. I have two children, but that was what the new normal was, you know. And I regretted I didn't have a huge family, which is what I wanted. But in the back of my mind, it was that I had to be responsible. Can we afford them? And that and only whites think that way, because they're the only ones who are indoctrinated to think that way. And I, you know, say what you want about anybody else, but you look at Hispanics, for instance, and one of the statistics I came up with in the article, which is amazing, from 2021 to 2022, white women gave birth to 55,000 less babies in 2022 as opposed to 2021. It's shocking. But you juxtapose that against Hispanic women.
Is that an increase in abortion part of it?
Maybe, possibly, but I think it's more than just opting, more than just aren't having children. But and Hispanic women at the same time gave birth to 50,000 more babies. And right there, that one statistic, You just do the math. And because if you talk to, and I've worked alongside a great diversity of people, especially when I was a blue collar worker, and I got to know how they think. And they don't have, you know, whites are the only group that think this way. Every other group, I know for myself, is a if a girl became pregnant, you were concerned. It was bad news.
That was a huge event. Huge.
Yeah, and no other race thinks that. Hispanics, especially, because they still are overwhelmingly Catholic, they celebrate it as a blessing. They look upon it, oh, this is a blessing. How many white people look upon pregnancy as a blessing? They don't. So, and I think that's a huge distinction that people should look at and say, you know, what are we doing here? But that, again, that's programming. That's cult programming through the media for the last 50, 60 years. They've been programmed. The message has been aimed at whites, especially white females. And so we come to where we are. And I have a huge family, a huge Catholic family, and largely Catholic family. And there's so many females that are middle-aged now that never had kids. Didn't want
Here's one. Let me add on. A 2021 poll. Now, I don't know what it is now. It's probably higher. From the Pew Research Center found
that
about 45% of childless adults from ages 18, that's still a teenager, 18 and 19, mm-hmm. to age 49, said they were not too likely or not likely at all to ever have children.
Yeah, yeah.
That's up 37% from 2018, only three years earlier.
Yeah.
See the trend?
Yeah. Yeah, and just imagine what it would be, you know, in 1940 or something. I mean, it's, you know, the start right before the baby boomer era. It's not natural. And that's why I said it is, you can say, well, and I mean, I'm sympathetic to somebody saying, well, I don't want to bring kids into this world the way the world is now. I mean, okay, I can't argue too much with them, but it's an unnatural thing. And white people are the only ones that think that way. There's no, the Asians don't think that way. Arabics don't think that way. Hispanics certainly don't. Blacks certainly don't.
It's true.
Are you suggesting,
my friend, that that white culture, white Western European Christian culture, has more of an intellectual ability to understand the entire responsibility of procreation and that they don't want to take that on for a variety of reasons, many of which, of course, are for the children's future? Who wants to bring a child into a world when there's a pedophile on every corner and the schools are teaching these children horrors at the age of 5 and 6? Is that the reason? I get that. And that's a very noble thing. But your point is very important. Why is it the white people on this planet, for the most part, are the only ones who are thinking like that and able to act on those thoughts? That's very interesting.
Yeah, and it's because you're right. If you look at it from a rational point of view, intellectually, yeah, it does make sense. Well, it's going to be hard to afford them and but again, somehow you always do afford them, and other races somehow manage to do it. And, you know, they're not all in the government dole. So it's, the message was sent out, be responsible, but it was directed at white people. And you see what's happening. I mean, between that, I don't even know what the number of abortions, that we've had, obviously many millions, but, and just opposed to people, and you're seeing more and more of these, the saddest videos you see out there are these middle-aged women, or, you know, women have hit like 50 or something, so they're probably too old to have kids. And they're crying and hysterical, and that they, you know, that they were career women, they put off having, and then they're alone. They don't have anybody, and they're just devastated because now they're too old really to get anybody. They can't have kids, and it's heartbreaking to watch them. But they absorb the programming.
There's several other things at work here that we never had to face before. We are now confronted with a worldwide genocidal biological weapon that is quite literally destroying the reproductive abilities of almost everyone who takes the shot, okay? So it's not even a decision now. The decision might be, well, geez, I've had a shot. I'm not going to do this because I'm going to bring a child into the world that may not even go to term. And even if it does, what's going to happen to it? Is it going to have brain defects? We don't know. There hadn't been enough time yet. So there's so much going on. You wait and see. And mark my words, and all of you probably know this, but the birth rate is going to dive in this country.
Yeah.
It's going down. And that's part of the goddamn agenda. That's what they're pushing.
It is. You're right, Jeff. I mean, you combine two things as far as just the birth rate just, you know, dropping precipitously across the board, and that is the vaccines, obviously. And, you know, Naomi Wolf has done lots of work on the Pfizer test and, you know,
May I say one other thing? When we have deployed something that is so obviously, profoundly a weapon, there's nothing experimental about this. It's a deployed weapon. And when you read stories about how pregnant women are being urged to take the shot for bullshit reasons, and they end up with a dead baby inside of them, they kill the baby. Because the baby, it goes right through the placenta, this crap, right into the child, and destroys it. What is wrong with this picture? Why don't people see what's being done to them? I know the answer. I got it. Mainstream media brainwashing. I get it.
Right.
But still, it boggles the mind.
And this is a relentless push. It's not only across what I talked about in my article is basically directed at whites who accepted the programming, but across the board, these people that run this, from Bill Gates on, the Fauci, all these people are eugenicists, and people don't realize how to what extent eugenicists have run the show for over a century. And these people, this is their philosophy. They believe there's too many people, and maybe there is, but they you know, there's only two ways to do anything about that. One would be to slow down the birth rate, and that's why they kept pushing the population bomb and all that. That guy's still alive, Ehrlich, who made all kinds of horrible predictions that never came true. He's still alive. And and I heard about that when I was young. The population bomb, population's exploding and all that. And so it was all these dire predictions, but the message was there's too many people. And so we had two great world wars, and World War One and World War Two, where many millions of mostly white men were killed. And whether they want, whites to be killed as opposed to anyone else, I don't know, because they just seem to want to cut the population big time. And Bill Gates really wants vaccines in Africa very badly, and he paralyzed a bunch of people in India with his horrible vaccines a few years back. But they want the population to go down. There's too many people. And when you combine that with right during the COVID psyop, this transgender madness really went warp speed along with the vaccine. And what is the message there? If you combine reproductive failure with from the vaccine with boys becoming girls and girls becoming boys, pretty obvious to see what's going to happen. You're going to have a lot fewer births.
275 million Americans have been injected with this crap. And what has it done to their reproductive competency? It ranges the spectrum. We don't know fully. We do know that dead injected males are showing zero sperm in their testicles. Yeah. There's nothing there but spike protein. Women are having their entire reproductive process assaulted and destroyed and ruined. And I'm talking about from breast to ovaries to uterus. It doesn't matter. This is a war on human reproduction, among many other things.
Yes.
So please understand, know your enemy. I know all of you are interested. You want to know. It's not fun to report all this. It's very negative. It's very dark. But damn it, it's the truth. And if you don't know your enemy, you got chance zero to prevail or to get around it. You're done. You've got to know your enemy. Hold on just a minute. We'll be right back with Don as we continue on this Monday night. Okay, here we are. Donald Jeffries is here, and if you want to read something good, pick up a Donald Jeffries book. They're all great. He's got an article up. We have it posted as well. War on White People. What's it again? I missed the title. Is it War on White People?
Cheering on White Extinction.
That's it. Cheering on White Extinction. Same idea. All right. And that's right in the headlines. You'll find it. So by all means, pick up Don's essays. I hope he keeps cranking them out. They're really good.
Well, I have to now. I'm getting more and more paid subscribers. So, I have to give the... And, I never run out of things to write about. It's just hard picking, where to go, because there's so many things to write about. I mean, there's so many things going on. I mean, just this, I don't know if you've been following the news, but I mean, I talk about all the disturbing things that come out of what I call the Trumpenstein Project, with these prosecutions of him, which are just people just because they have a hatred for him. And he is a player in this. I don't think he's, just some innocent party. I think he's a part of it. But regardless, for them to be, to be prosecuted for the things he's being prosecuted for, really is setting some awful precedents. And now, if you notice what happened to Rudy Giuliani, who, again, is not my favorite person. Rudy Giuliani helped cover up 9/11, like so many other people, that he was the heart of that lie. But he was involved in the 2020 election thing and complaining about vote fraud, which there was. But he's now been ordered to pay, I think, $148 million to two election workers that he defamed. I mean, this is,
I get it. This is it's like a bad black macabre cartoon. What's going on here?
Yeah. And it's just what I wrote about in the white extinction thing. It's the same kind of thing, because basically it is white people sitting on their hands. And all good people should be concerned about it. But since this is part of the great replacement thing, They should really be the fact that they're just sitting. And this is why all these things happen, because the vast majority of people sat by like docile animals and allowed all this to happen. If you're a parent to the, I mean, just to look at, you don't have to like Rudy Giuliani, but you have to, $148 million. I think that's more than Johnson & Johnson paid out in their talcum powder suit when they killed, I don't know how
I
many
think
people.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, does that make any sense?
No,
Rudy Giuliani.
Look, we'd be better off at this point with the courts the way they are. I don't think we'd be worse off if we went before some kind of an AI supercomputer with a full background in legal, real jurisprudence and have that decision made there. These people are like, they think they're gods the way they control lives. I mean, what a trip. Think about it.
And it's such, everything is so politicized now. So because Giuliani is associated with Trump, and the courts say, the black woman in New York is prosecuting Trump. She came out. I don't know if you paid attention to this one event, I can't lose track of all the lawsuits against them for just the most ridiculous things. But I don't know, whatever lawsuit, one of them, she came out and said, and if you looked at her speech back then, she said, the judge looked at her case and he said that Trump was guilty of this before the trial began.
I know.
That's Lewis Carroll territory.
Yes, it is.
A sentence first, verdict afterwards. I mean, that's just think about that. And now in a real legal system, a system that was honest, that judge would have been disbarred forever. What do you mean you're coming out before the trial and saying the guy's guilty? I mean, what's the purpose of a trial? But all this stuff, all's fair in love and Trump. You know, I mean, everything with Trump, the people that hate him, they don't care. They don't. And I try to tell them, look, you know, I end up sounding like a fan of Trump. I'm not. But these are setting huge precedents. And every one of us is going to be, you know, we could be susceptible to all of us. Criticized the 2020 election. You or I were on the air that night, and I still remember how we were talking about how, you know, Trump was obviously going to win easily because he was ahead and comfortably in all the key states, the swing states. And then, you know, they stopped counting by midnight or so. They just stopped counting, and then, you know, when the counting reemerged hours later, suddenly Biden got like, you know, 95% of the vote in some places of the missing vote. I mean, it was so obvious and so over the top, and it wasn't the first time, but the point is now, because of this happening, we risk being prosecuted ourselves by just saying this, pointing these things out. And that's, I don't know how people let that happen, but I just look at the American people, whether it's the white extinction thing I was talking about or anything else, I don't have any confidence in my fellow people this time, because there's just, I mean, just the way they did during COVID, the way they obeyed everything. And they did, look at all the small businesses that were destroyed. You always have a courageous parent that will step up at a school board meeting and point out the obvious that this is, you know, my white child should not be subjected to this, you know, absurd abuse. As you know, telling him something's wrong with him because he's white, as critical race theory, and no kid of any race should be subjected to this abuse about, you know, what do you think your gender is and what are your pronouns. But the problem is, whenever those parents speak up, if you look at those videos, the rest of them are playing on their cell phones, they're standing there twiddling their thumbs, they don't jump up together. And if they all did that, it's just to show a minor show of force. You get 50 parents at a school board meeting out there all together in unison, that makes a statement. They know they can't do it. And if it starts happening all the time, they know they can't do it. But they know that they're going to be able to marginalize the one person. They'll send their armed guards out. But the problem is, they send a couple armed guards out against 50 people, they can't do anything.
No.
And, you know, and that's the problem. There's never anybody else, and I've told this story before, I was always the guy that would speak up in sales meetings and meetings and work meetings, and I would always be out hanging out on a limb. And people before them, I agree with you, and then they'd sit there, crickets. And that's, unfortunately, that's the way people are, and that's why we are in the situation we're in. I you know, the other day at the post office, and I don't know why I still do this, you know, but because it's really stupid, but I was, you know, it's Christmas season, so I was mailing out some stuff. And of course, it's busier than usual with the Christmas season. You go in, all the great heroes are there. You know, they're heroes. They work for the postal service, we're told. And I'm kind of expecting it, but I look and I see, I think they maybe have six windows or something like that. And two of them are empty. The line's out the door. So I said, hey, do you think you might want to open another line here? How long does the line have to get for you? And the people, they're not one person. If everybody in that line had said, yeah, and said, then they would have done something. Not one person. There wasn't a peep. A couple of them glared at me. They thought, oh, God, this guy's crazy. I'm surprised nobody called the cops on me. But that's where we are. Even something that minor.
I know.
Something like, hey, let's get, you know, we're paying for this.
I know.
It's bad enough, you know, so, but you can't get the people are so.
No, everything's falling apart, Don, everything from the Postal Service, worse than ever, to you name it. And when you look at the, what you're talking about here is important. The American people, you said programmed, brainwashed, mind controlled, all of that and more. Not only are they being continually programmed and their own internal reality, their impression of the world is being artificially created by the mainstream media Zionist control mechanism. Right. That's what's giving them their reality. That is their reality. They no longer go out and determine from life what's real and what isn't. It's taken off the flat screen. That's their reality. And that's really scary. Add to that chemtrails, add to the toxicity level, all the stuff that people are breathing from those, then stir in the food. What are they putting in the food? My God, some of these things. Hostess Twinkies used to be fun. Hostess cupcakes. I picked up some Hostess Twinkies a couple weeks ago. I've told this story before. And there were almost, I think there were over 80 different ingredients in it. For what? And there used to be half a dozen, five or six for a Twinkie. Yeah. Anyway, we're being poisoned mentally, physically, physiologically, our lifestyles, everything, we're being poisoned. And that's why, another reason, the public is finished. It will not stand up. It will not do anything.
No. And even at the smallest level, like I said, if you can't do, if you're a parent and you can't, you don't have enough balls to stand up for your own child. So that you want your kindergartner to go there and you want them maybe to persuade them that they're a different gender or different sex. How are you not concerned about that? But they're not. The vast majority aren't.
I know.
And I know I've talked to them. It's real. It's not, you know, we're not silent, but it's not like the silent majority back when Nixon was president. And, you know, when they talked about the silent majority, we're not the majority. We haven't been for a long time.
Nope.
And there's a great displacement here, and we have to say, okay, well, I don't know to what extent we have people of, you know, I mean, again, there's probably 70, 80 million people that voted for Trump are awake to some degree. To some degree. I mean, a lot of them, you know, are maybe buying the conservative line. A bunch of them, obviously, are supporters of Israel and they're Zionist, but they're awake to some degree. And of course, most of them are, you know, still trusting in him for some reason, but they are awake to some degree, and that's the base you have to work from to try to get to understand. I don't know how they'll react after whatever they have planned for this next election, and who knows? I really don't know.
Who knows?
I wouldn't make any predictions.
Things can happen between now and then, right?
Yeah, I mean, I gave up making predictions, political predictions, a long time ago. I have no idea what they're.
Shame on the American people for allowing this brain dead pervert pedo creep to even move into the White House for one night. You see, that election was completely illegal. He didn't get 83 million votes, more than any other presidential candidate in history. Come on. And now what are we facing? You raise a good point. What are they going to do? What do they have in store for us? What is their plan? Whatever their plan is, we're going to find out soon enough. And that's what's going to happen.
And that's what the only prediction I ever make is that, you know, I don't make any of these other predictions, but I do know that whatever happens, it won't be for the betterment of the vast majority of the people.
No.
Whatever.
They may try and package that way, but it ain't going to happen.
No, it never does. And so whatever we get,
Here's Trump today saying, when I get elected, you're going to see the greatest deportation in human history or something like that.
Yeah.
And I just say, Don, you had 4 years. What the hell did you do for four years?
If only he'd been president before. I mean, I try to tell people that, too. And they go, well, this time, I think you know, his first time, he was just learning. Was like, he was just
God.
Learning, really?
Oh,
yeah, he was learning.
Me.
Okay, so, yeah. But I mean, it'll you know, how anybody can still trust him with it. But again, that's why I'm kind of conflicted, because on the one hand, I'm talking about what a joke he is and how he's part of the show, the Trumpenstein Project. But on the other hand, I find myself talking about how ridiculous his legal issues are. And again, I don't think he's, you know, he's in danger of really being punished at all. I think, again, it's part of the show. But this is setting horrible precedents, and it's transforming. People don't realize what has happened since Trump came in office, when they started, when they had the, you know, the pre-dawn raid on Roger Stone's home and people like that, when they busted Paul Manafort and General Flynn and all these people that they grew up Donald Trump Jr. for 40 hours in closed testimony, by the way. Now, Hunter Biden, he just thumbs his nose. He just goes, I don't care. Didn't they just send Peter Navarro, who was a guest on my show last year, I think. He was sentenced for contempt of, I don't know if he went to prison or not, but he was convicted for contempt of Congress because he ignored a subpoena. That's exactly what Hunter Biden's doing. That's exactly what Eric Holder did back when he's Attorney General.
These are all yardsticks, measurements about how far G-O-N-E, our country has gone. It's gone. You're not going to pull this back. How are you going to pull it back? At the ballot box? Please.
Right.
Forget
it. And that's why the Republicucks, as I call them, Republicans, these are the stupid party, whatever you want to call them. They they represent basically what's left of white America, traditional white America. And
it's true.
You can see they reflect what I'm talking about. The do nothing, sit on your hands, allow everything to happen. Go along to get along. And that's exactly what white America did, especially so-called conservative white America did during the course of my lifetime. I mean, you go back to Richard Nixon, somebody like who was responsible for all kinds of liberal legislation when he was in office. But behind closed doors, those tapes reveal him to be a typical racist of his day. He loved to drop racial bombs. You know how he really felt. But he didn't legislate like that. And then eventually he comes around. By the time before he dies, he's almost endorsing Jesse Jackson for president, saying he's the best of the Democratic candidates, while he turns his back on Pat Buchanan, who was a good man.
Nixon was not nearly as bad as people think.
He did
stand up and do what's best for the job that he was hired to do on many occasions, as much as he could, facing a power structure that would kill him if he got in the way. And they damn near did.
Well, then they maneuvered him out of office. That's what Watergate was. But
really
it's, you know, that.
Down. Yeah.
But that generation, unfortunately, they're the ones that allowed these this gradualism, these inroads. And you know, in my White People Going Extinct article, I just talked about it. It's like, you know, why is it so hard for us as a society? Why can't we say that all laws, all rules, all standards of conduct must be uniformly applied? We just can't do it. We've never been able to do it. We've always had exceptions for the rich and the powerful. And now we have exceptions for non-whites, especially blacks. And you can't have a society where the rules are different. Otherwise, the rules don't matter. No one should respect them. And that's at the heart of the problem.
Rules. Compare this. Compare Nixon and Watergate to Biden and the Biden family, career criminals. Compare those two. There's no comparison. It's a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, there's, by the way, I got to do this real quick here. There's some young man, I don't know who he is. I think he's out of L.A. And he is playing the piano and doing singing commentaries. All right. Well, people are really liking that and all that. But I'm not going to say he stole, but he is copying the great Tom Lehrer. Do you remember Lehrer?
Oh, yeah, sure. I remember him, yeah.
Tom Lehrer, now he was writing and doing the same thing, exactly the same thing, but brilliantly, almost 70 years ago.
Yeah.
Let me play one little shorty. Playing the piano and singing either a commentary political commentary or just a fun song. Tom Lehrer would do irony songs about society and life, but he was
he had a great Christmas parody song. He had a great Christmas parody song.
Yes, he did. Now, here's a 2-minute little. So you see this guy playing the piano. This is where he got it. Okay, Tom Lehrer, Lehrer.
Tight as we danced to the Wiener Schnitzel waltz. The music was gay and the setting was Viennese. Your hair wore some roses, or perhaps they were peonies. I was blind to your obvious faults. As we danced across the scene to the strains of the Wiener Schnitzel waltz. I drank some champagne from your shoe, la la la, I was drunk by the time I got through, la la la, for I didn't know as I raised that cup, it had taken 2 bottles to fill the thing up. It was I who stepped on your dress, la la la, the skirts all came off, I confess, la la la, revealing for all of the others to see. Just what it was that endeared you to me. I remember the shoes so tight as we danced to the Wiener Schnitzel waltz. Your lips were like wine, if you'll pardon the simile. The music was lovely and quite Rudolph Frimley. I drank wine, you drank chocolate malts, and we both turned quite green to the strains of the Wiener Schnitzel waltz.
All right, there was in the 1950s, this country had a bonanza of talented people of all kinds working the entertainment background and foreground, and they were just amazing people. Some of them weren't recognized for what they had. Tom became quite a cult figure in the 50s. He was really good, still is. So there you go.
Yeah, no, and the intellectual discourse was so much higher, on a higher level.
Way higher.
References. I mean, and again, you could even have Kennedy was the last president, really the only president that had, you know, he would make references to Greek tragedy and, you know, just things that people at the time, I guess, you know, at least some section of America understood them. Now it's, you know, Joe Biden talking about his ice cream flavor. I mean, it's this things of atrophy.
Pelosi's doing the same thing. Marie Antoinette, she's talking about her ice cream freezer. Remember that video?
Sickening. I mean, it's when you see what we've lost, somebody was talking the other day, for instance, you know, as a writer, you know, I don't know. I think the last great writer overall was Truman Capote. And I think Kurt Vonnegut was our last great novelist. And I don't we don't produce anything like that now. We don't have.
This is a talentless age we are in now. There's no more talent. Yeah. It's all digital product. It's fake.
You have some aging rock and rollers, and that's about it, that are still attempting to, you know, whether they have to tour or not, I don't know. But I don't even know what the music is anymore, but it's just most of it. I just look at it, it's like, wow, it's not anywhere near the level. And again, when you get old, you naturally think your culture was best. But I think by any kind of independent standard, you can look at that. And again, I think that, again, we've been dumbed down. And I think it's a huge going from Dr. Tom Lehrer to Cardi B. You know, it's like going in the article I said, going from Ward Cleaver to Cardi B, and that's what we stand in. People, the product of their culture and their, you know, you consume culture, and the young people today, this is what they consume, and it's harder than ever, like, to try to reach young people, because first of all, they don't have anything to compare it with. This is all they've known. They haven't known an age. I've written before about the
all they know is the rap. I mean, come on. So you remember, many of you remember Jackie Wilson.
Yes. 50s. Oh, yeah.
You can't. There's nobody alive now that has that kind of talent. Rap talent? Rap? Come on,
exactly.
Please.
Yeah. But we just, personal liberty was just so precious back then. I've written about it, just what I experienced in the 70s right. and into the 80s, how much more personal freedom we had. Obviously, we don't have any of that anymore. And again, people, it's the same people. I hate to keep blaming the people, but, you know, you talk about because
facts
people,
are facts, Don. Don't right. don't apologize.
It's exactly. Just, whoever's running things, who's ever really behind things, the elite, whatever you want to call them, the people have to comply to allow it to happen. If they fought back, if they really did it effectively, like I said, I talked about that post office situation, school board. That's a low right. level. That's where it begins. And people can't even do that. That's no. That's where we are. Where nope. we are.
You got a good point. Next Monday is Christmas. I don't think we're going to be on the air Christmas night. We might be, but I don't think so. So we'll see. If we're not, I'm going to move you into a different slot next week. But we'll see. In the meantime, have a wonderful time with your family, Don. I know you've got a split vax family and all that. Just be careful,
yes.
and do your. I know you will. You'll do your best.
We'll have fun with it, whoever will be there. Yes. Merry Christmas.
Keep that tradition alive. Merry Christmas to you, Don. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Thanks.
All right. We'll be right back with a lot more in just a few. Hang on.